Welcome to A Course in Miracles. We are in a part of A Course in Miracles that is objected to by all those who are normal. The topic we're talking about is obviously rejected by anybody who is normal. Normal human person, a loving person, caring about doing the right thing in the world, getting along well, loving yourself. Are you loving yourself? This topic is rejected by these very balanced egos.
Okay.
Which we all are very good at.
The balanced ego is what we've been striving for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well adjusted.
Yeah. Yeah, very cooperative.
Which is funny when we're not supposed to pay attention to the ego at all.
Right?
Yeah.
But you can't get rid of it. Might as well make friends with it.
You are in a deep addiction with the ego in all things world. So you can only get rid of it as much as you can get rid of a deep addiction that you, under which you are completely consumed.
Yeah, and I hate to make general statements like, you can't. Who knows?
Maybe you're right. I wasn't a negative. It was more like, there's ways around it.
So what is this? What is this that we would reject if you were average, normal, cooperating in the world? It's like a standard coin of being a human in relationship. And you remember what we're talking about.
Or being a good person.
Being a good person. Being a good person. Balanced good person. That means that you manage guilt very well. You don't take on guilt when it doesn't belong to you. And you assign guilt properly. One of those assholey ones out there who are just hell-bent on being worse than you. Loving yourself by blaming them. And yet, being so big as to take responsibility for doing harm to others when you're busted. Aren't you so balanced? Aren't you a good human being?
Don't you wish everybody was like you?
God, yeah. I mean, being willing to accept guilt when it's yours and mete it out with a swift and just and fair hand when somebody else is guilty.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's like every time you turn on the news, you hear somebody talk, there's this undercurrent of like, oh yeah, he's a good person.
Uh-huh.
Like if they're a good person, then that means everything's okay.
Uh-huh, trustworthy.
Yeah, trustworthy. But but then there's peace in the world because that person is good,
Uh-huh.
Like Trump always says this. He's always saying, oh, that's a good person. He's a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be the stamp of approval when you say that somebody else is a good person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Now in the world, this works, it applies, we could measure somebody's guilt, and then if they've paid enough penance, we can resume them to innocence. I am so sorry that I hurt you and what I did. And I know you paid for that parking space, and I left my car there when I went on my 3-week trip to Fiji. I guess I owe you some money. Thank you, and you do. Okay, that works in the world. Now look, it's the level of the world. You will not stop respecting the laws of guilt because you're a Course in Miracles student in the world. Because it's the way the world works. In other words, you're going to stay normal after Course in Miracles. You don't suddenly float off the ground. You don't need shoes anymore because the Course in Miracles, you get enlightened, then you just kind of float anymore. No more walking from there. No! This book works with your mind. And what we're working on tonight is how We take something from the world that makes the world normal, even you might call healthy, at the world's standards, and you do a reverse miracle with it. The reverse miracle is you take something from the world and then you move its attributes to the mind. The miracle is where you take from the mind and you translate the attributes of the world. Shift in perception is a miracle. We take the ideas of guilt, which you, will be proven to you on your way home tonight, in the most metaphysical ways that we haven't yet discussed, but some of you might remember if you've been around this bend with me before about guilt. Just driving your car without breaking any laws, you are going to be using the essential metaphysical laws of guilt to get home. What we're talking about tonight is where you are taking the attributes of the world and moving them to, you know, from the visible to the invisible. You're taking the attributes of the world and moving them to your mind, to your spirit. This is a very slippery slope because it makes all the sense in the world to take what works for you in a body and assign it to God. Let's just call it God. To your right mind. Welcome. So we have to bust the ego. We have to bust our awareness that the attributes of the world do not apply to your true self. Unless this, what is it? Characteristic assignment is broken, your mind is not open to what God actually is. You can't experience freedom if something as binding as guilt remains true. I hope you're feeling a sense of frustration. How would something where you are normal in a body be dismissed? Right? You're still going to do it in a body. You know? You go to a monk and sit in a cave and people bring you rice. Okay, maybe you can get rid of a lot of it. But boy, that's not how we do Course in Miracles. We're way more practical than that. We're talking about guilt. And what's more is, the section we're talking about is the attraction to guilt. Not only do you use guilt like an addict, or like you need it, you've become so accustomed to it that you're attracted to what it will get you. It's like a coin that you spend in your relationships. And we're going to bust that. We're going to open that up. Because your relationship with truth, God, with your Christ identity, is to be resumed. You have been denying your relationship as Christ and investing in a relationship in darkness and the ego, which sometimes is really fun, but it's never been joyful, purely joyful. It hasn't. It can't afford joy. Your identity as an ego cannot afford love. Substitutes for love, small l, yes, but not true love. We're here to bust this addiction to this characteristic of guilt. So if you would, let's take a few moments. It's going to be brief so that we have a lot of reading to do, because I want to have you see this. This took me personally years to get my hands around why A Course in Miracles spends so much time on guilt, when I am such a good boy. with such great intentions, and that's because it's not talking about the guilt in the world that I would go to prison for or have to pay for. It's not what we're talking about. More metaphysical, closer to you than what somebody else could do to you. This guilt that we shall be discussing as part of your freedom and enlightenment. Yes. So let's spend a few moments, kind of drop ourselves in to a few thoughts. What does it mean to you, this word, guilt? Just look and answer. What does it mean to you? I want you to look at it as an observer. I want you to look at guilt now as, what does it do when you assign guilt? You don't need to search and reflect on feeling guilty yourself. Please look at it as what kind of tool this is for the ego. Why does it exist? Why does it exist? Why do we have a term for this? Guilt. When you use the word guilt, what effect are you hoping for? What is required? What's the required judgment that justifies you telling somebody they are guilty? What judgment? What is the maximum guilt someone can have? And again now, what judgment justifies for you calling someone guilty? So what does it take so you feel justified, validated, pointing your finger out and saying, you're guilty? What does somebody have to do to earn guilt?
Do something that I consider sinful.
Sinful.
I was going to use like a moral standard, a variation on your moral standard.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not acceptable to me.
But it's my deal.
Yeah.
Or there's universal stuff, but you know, right. It's, you talk to personal.
They did something. Is that what you said?
Behaved in a way.
Uh-huh. That had an effect?
I just judged it.
Uh-huh.
It made me feel superior by judging it.
Uh-huh. What validates? What makes it okay? Everybody would agree that, you know, that's guilty. Basic now. Reason why I want to challenge you to get really simple here is because we need to understand what this word means. Because we put it on our spiritual or God, or we actually, without knowing, this is the key point that you shall arrive at. You sit here enough with me, hopefully I will bring you along quicker than it took me to get here.
It's something that somebody told you or that you heard.
Uh-huh.
It's not something that comes internally.
Uh-huh.
It's something that you've learned.
Yes.
That you say to yourself, that because that person did this, that means this.
Yes, yes. Because that person did A, then B happened.
Yeah, there is a context, isn't there, of like standards and ideals, and it's likely there's some cultural implications in different cultures.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
For me, it's like if someone's just stupid.
Uh-huh.
Or insanely unkind.
Unkind,
to other human
careless.
Beings.
Uh-huh. Mm. Uh-huh. Sloppy. Yeah.
they did A, and B happened, and B was not to my liking or my moral standards, or it was, it did so much damage, it was evil, sinful.
Yeah, you know those Ten Commandments.
You broke one of the Ten Commandments, for crying out loud. What do you think those are there for? Those are so we can identify the sinful and the guilty and be valid and justified in calling them guilt. Huckle.
I think for me it's some of what Stephen said about it's much clearer if there's law. So we have the agreement, right?
Yeah.
Cultural
yeah.
agreement.
Yes. Yes.
World agreement.
Yes.
Some mass
yes.
agreement.
Yes.
That this is right and this is wrong.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
where it gets really fuzzy is things like extending courtesy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay. Respect.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
there's no law.
Yes.
That says you have to be nice
uh-huh.
to a driver
uh-huh.
that's on the road.
Uh-huh.
So that's where all my conflicting views come in.
Uh-huh. Conflicting okay. views. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Conflicting view has occurred. If this were different out there, I would be happy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the ego's world.
I see it as labeling.
Mm-hmm.
Label.
Yes.
Cross bounds.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a belief in the separation, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the separation's functioning.
Mm-hmm.
That this separate thing out there is now a cause of its own.
Right.
Cause and effect have separated, and now the effect become a cause. And damage will flow.
I think it's defines the difference between right and wrong, where wrong is the guilt, the
yes.
guilty part,
yes.
and the right is not necessarily guilty.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Just we get out of line.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Still innocent. Still functioning.
I guess I'm just having a little challenge getting over the difference between guilt and judgment. I mean, I feel guilt is like an internal thing that I'm feeling, and what
okay.
I feel like we're talking about is
okay.
judgment.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, no, it's the internal.
I mean, I think yeah. I just don't understand.
It's internal. It's, I was about to say separation. Also, you create, or you actually you reinforce the idea of separation
mm-hmm.
when you identify the other, that someone else. You're putting some distance between, you know, what you think is you and what you think is the other body.
Yes.
But then,
yes.
But then, you know, if you're judging somebody else, if you're coming up with some reason why that person should be guilty,
yes.
that's a standard that you're using on yourself.
Uh-huh.
So
Turns out, you
make yourself wrong
uh-huh.
for the same things that you're making the other person wrong for, because uh-huh. that's the standard you're using.
Uh-huh.
You don't make yourself wrong. You know.
Yeah, you
wrong.
Know you're
wrong.
You're
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
You may not be conscious of that, but you
yes.
know you're wrong.
Yeah.
And
yes.
you
yeah.
see it in someone else.
Yeah.
But you have to. But you have to give it all to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is an aspect of projection, for sure.
Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Right. Projection. Yes.
Yeah. Because if you kind of relief, it's a relief momentarily when you do that. When you make that.
It judgment. Feels good.
Yeah.
It actually feels right.
Yeah.
It feels safe sometimes in the
kind
world.
Of like vomiting.
Like vomiting, yeah, what a big mess, but I feel good.
I keep,
what
I keep,
a mess I've made, but I feel okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep locking into the word, what, Schadenfreuden? I'm not sure.
Oh, Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude, thank you.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like that's part of this.
Yes, yeah, you bet. But that's in the level of the world. In the level of the world, guilt gets assigned quite easily, and it feels sometimes really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to fix that. Why? Julie, why are we not trying to fix the world?
Because that's of the world.
What?
Because it's of the world.
Because it's of the world. And you are not.
Mm-hmm.
The you that we are waking up to is not of the world. So don't go bothering fixing the world. It's arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as mm-hmm. it's already sinking. Let it go. Because it's not valuable.
Can I tell you what happened for me? When you do these things, I always go inside and sit and find out what's going on inside. So what came to me was tears.
Uh-huh.
When you first started talking. Mm. So then I thought, what's this tears about? And it turns out, I've decided that this year is the year I'm going to practice loving people and not trying to change them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You told me I can't change other people's past, and I've been learning that all mm-hmm. the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, no, okay, I'm going to do that. What came to me was, what makes me upset with somebody is when they don't believe that I love them when I'm trying to love them.
Yes.
Okay, so what came to me was, and that's because your love has a condition on it, and as a condition, it's not the kind of love you really want to give it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to give the love that I really want.
Yes.
So that's what
you're reading the right book.
Beautiful.
You're reading the right book.
So anyway, my judgment about other people is that they don't get me the way I want to be gotten, and I don't know how to present.
Yes.
Like this part of me that cries said, "You don't do love. You have that love in you. It's you, but you don't do it."
Yes. Yes. Mm. In this world, it's been designed. And your body has been designed, and all the ways that you protect your body and your body image is the perfect tool to block love.
So it's like even the image of I'm showing them how much I love them is an image.
Yes.
It's not me.
Yes.
And, but it still doesn't tell me how.
That's right.
How I destroy that image
uh-huh.
and do
uh-huh.
me.
Yeah, how would you communicate the truth of love? Through symbols.
I don't know.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you don't know. That's a mm-hmm. good start.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with that. Good. Masako.
Oh, for me, there's another element to guilt. It's very slippery slope. It's very insidious. And I don't think I have words to articulate it.
Yes.
Whereas judgment, oh yeah, it's
uh-huh.
right there.
Yes.
You know, I can say
yes.
they're an asshole because blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Guilt is it's so hidden.
Uh-huh.
It's
sneaky.
You know,
I think that's because if you decide somebody is guilty of being an asshole
uh-huh.
in any way, then you can feel guilty about assigning that to them.
Uh-huh.
And if you assign that to them, you would
yes.
be feeling guilty yourself, and therefore you don't want to do that.
Yes.
So you say, I can judge you, but I'm not finding you guilty.
Yes.
See, somebody like that, is that like projecting your own guilt onto someone else?
It turns out, it is. It turns out, looking into a mirror, you know that, what is that? You spot it, you got it.
Yeah.
Mm. There's so much truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I want to draw your attention in our discussion to the cost of this, believing guilt is useful and valid and validated, not so much in the world, because it's fine in the world. That's where it's going to work. You're going to use it. Like I say, on your way home, without even getting upset, you will be using the principles of guilt just to get your car home safely. We'll talk more about that later. What I want you to become aware of is that it may not apply in heaven at all.
May not.
I'm going easy on you.
I'll try to take it, but no.
All right, all right, then. I'm going to give it to you straight, John.
Okay.
There's no guilt in heaven.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wanted to know that.
Yes, but you know, if there was guilt in heaven, we could understand it a lot better. Heaven, we think. If there was guilt in heaven, we could understand. We would go about drawing pictures of it and describing heaven and much better.
Well, there's a gate there. Right there where they make the final decision, right?
Yeah, we need a gate. Yes.
We could even say we're there, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah, we could. Yeah. All right, I hope that's enough of a tease to get your idea of where I'm trying to point now. Okay, let's jump in. We got some work to do. The course is going to talk to us in this way. Turn to page 83 in the front of the book, chapter 5. 83.
Aren't we more advanced than this?
We've had to take a few steps back.
I'm new here, so therefore I'm not.
See, Mark is saying that last week he remembers being well into page 400s. He says, what the bit? Back at page 83. Yeah, yeah. We're doing a little medial work here. This is the section called The Ego's Use for Guilt. Yeah. You ready, David?
Perhaps some of our concepts will become clearer and more personally meaningful if the ego's use of guilt is clarified. The ego has a purpose, just as the Holy Spirit has. The ego's purpose is fear, because only the fearful can be egotistic. Ego's logic is as impeccable as that of the Holy Spirit, because your mind has the means and the disposal to side with heaven on earth, or earth, as it elects. But, again, remember that both are in you.
Here's some great metaphysics of your mind. A Course in Miracles is pointing out, let's not miss it. And that is, sentence 4, the ego's logic is as impeccable as that of the Holy Spirit. You love Course in Miracles.
It's impeccable.
Yeah. It's as impeccable as that of the Holy Spirit.
You can't argue it away because it's impeccable.
Correct, down to a fine point.
Down to a very fine point.
Very believable.
Yes. That if you follow the ego's logic, it will support itself down to a very, very fine point. If you follow the Holy Spirit's logic, it will support itself to a very, very fine point. Equally. It doesn't say, stick with the Holy Spirit and it'll make more sense. Because if you stick with the ego, it will make more sense.
You've just elevated ego in my mind to a whole new level.
Yes!
You know, like the if or.
Yes! Shouldn't it be? Because if...
Not just another little thing to deal with.
Yeah, amen, brother! I always say, never underestimate the ego.
It's the thing to deal with.
What? Yes. Because it has the ability to block love from your awareness. Mm-hmm. It has this thought, this fire we're playing with, his ability to block the awareness of your source, to block your true identity from your awareness. This ego has the ability for this lovely woman here who says, all I have is love to share. And yet people somehow come back at me as though I hate them.
Well, not that, but not like they know I love them.
But it's not working!
That's right.
Why isn't my love as warm as it feels to me, to them?
Maybe if you hold up a sign when you talk to them that says, I love you.
Yeah!
They don't believe you.
Yeah, more chocolate.
Everybody believes the written word, right?
That's right. Yeah. Or you can hire a lawyer.
Yeah, the pen is mightier than the sword. Write it down.
I don't think anybody believes a lawyer.
Then it'll work.
Seek and do not find.
Seek and do not find, mm-hmm, is the ego's credo. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, if you remember, too, that the ego has been controlling your life,
yes,
to however old you are,
uh-huh,
so it's got the momentum, right?
Yes.
It's got,
yes,
the speed and the believability.
Yes.
And then how often do we put our trust in our higher self?
That's right. And
yeah.
So what has the ego been developing for all these times with its impeccable logic? A whole brain full of memories. Mm. A bunch of movies. A bunch of relatives. Stories. A bunch of poems and songs and everything else. With its impeccable logic.
Well, I trust my body more than my brain.
What?
That's why I trust my body more than my brain.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. It's got a big library right, mm-hmm, at your fingertips. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does. The ego's logic is as impeccable as the Holy Spirit, as equal. Equal! So, for us to somehow be talking about. That's why, you know, Miracle Principle 17, I just love it. I think it really puts on the table the challenge of A Course in Miracles. And Stephen, would you read for us Miracle Principle 17? Everybody can go there too. It's on page 4.
Yeah, 4.
Listen to this. Listen to this crazy talk. It's very short.
Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into visibility.
Invisibility.
There are sudden shifts into invisibility away from the bodily level.
Yeah.
That is why they heal.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. What? Miracles, a sudden shift into invisibility. The ego's impeccable logic will continue to describe the visible and manipulate and manage the visible to its heart's content and promising you health and wealth and wisdom and comfort for doing so. And always has an answer to everything visible. Just get better food, better education, more money, or another body that's smarter than you or lovier than you or better than you, and change the world and make yourself happy.
It's telling me, if you just learn to love right, then they would believe you.
Uh-huh. If you would just do the right things and draw the right sign, and Mark would give you a blank to work with for $5.95, and then you and a pen, and then you could actually have love. And you know what? There are gifts that are carefully crafted to say I love you in this world.
That's
right. There they are. There are. Yeah. Ego's logic impeccable as the Holy Spirit's.
At this point, you know, my ego feels more real than this Holy Spirit because it's what I'm used to.
Yes. It's your go-to.
I don't have very much practice with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it's the quick go-to.
Weaker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy Spirit seems weaker.
Except when it...
You all admit that? Yes?
I agree with that. And then, like, for me, what happens is that it sometimes just completely unravels.
Yeah.
And then that's when it's like...
Yeah. Yes.
When it completely unravels, then it I still don't have much practice, but then it feels like, at least I know it's true.
Mm.
Yeah, and at least I know, I mean, not the ego, at least I know that the Holy Spirit, or like another way, a better way,
yes,
yeah,
is true. Mm-hmm. And so even if I don't have a lot of practice, it's like...
All it takes is one honest moment of forgiveness, one complete forgiveness, which means release in this book. You've got miracles happening all the time, but you don't necessarily follow them with the release so you can keep them. They happen all the time. But it needs miracle, forgiveness, and the holy instant. One true forgiveness unravels the concentrated ego and leaves you in a holy instant. In that instant, not a minute, not an hour, not a day, in that instant is now the birth of light in your mind that no one can take away. This is a spiritual awakening, literally. And now you have to question every other contraction if your mind is open. Because, oh my God, if it worked on this one, what else have I been hanging on to that just isn't necessary?
Yes. Well, just the realization that there's something else is possible than your rigid sort of construct that you have in your ego.
Yes.
And
yes.
And it actually feels better.
Yeah. And it feels better.
Yeah.
It feels better. And it puts a bit of hope, not only in that situation, but in every other situation for the rest of your existence.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, without the miracle, you're screwed. Because you are continuing to follow a staircase that only goes down. Without a miracle. But this world is designed to do that.
Is it more like trying to ascend a escalator.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so you
right.
You keep going down. As hard as you keep trying to go up.
Boy, as soon as you take a break down, you go.
Like yes. In the world, we're so conditioned to think that, yes. Well, if it's there
yes.
And here,
yes.
Then since I'm sure I don't have it here, it
yes.
Must be out there.
Yes.
So the
yes.
Mind looks for a panacea.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And, oh, my God.
Oh,
I know that if I find that nugget.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to be healed.
Yes. Yes.
You know, my wildest wishes
oh, yes.
Come
mm-hmm.
true.
Oh, yes.
I'm a perfect relationship.
Yes.
And it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
You,
because
yeah.
You may find it.
Yes.
However,
yes.
It doesn't last.
Right. You
yes.
May find it for a moment.
Yeah.
And how many times have I heard this? Where early students of the course of people who just don't actually read the book or do the lessons. They say, Andrew, I really like how peaceful you are. It really looks great. And I really believe the power is in this book. Can you just tell me what it says so I can just, you know, heal?
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Yes.
You put it in a pill.
Give it, yeah. Yeah. That's what I did. I bought forgiveness pills. It's kind of a
have
joke.
Have you had
you
people
know,
actually say that to you?
I have. They honestly love the book. They believe that I have had progress with this. And they say, can you just tell me, give me, what's the summary? Just, you know, is there, just give me the one
the
thing out of
notes.
Here. What is it trying to say? And then I could just get it. Honestly. And I am. You know, it's sad because it's an honest desire. But you put your finger on it, Masako. You know, what we're talking about is a real shift in your being and not just a shift in your problems.
The funny thing, though, is that it says in this book a million times.
Yeah.
Like, if you could just get that one sentence, you'd get it.
Yes.
But there's so many places where it'll say that. If, you know, it'll say just say, if only that you know,
yes.
If only you,
yes.
You know, understand this, then you would have the answer to the Course in Miracles.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. If only you'd shift your identity, you'd be done.
Yeah, right.
And that's what it's saying.
Right.
When it says understand this sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. All right. So, I know. I just wanted to point that out. There are once when we talk about this, and here it is in print. Okay. And thank you, Jeff. It's very significant. It raised the ego in Jeff's mind is not just this little gnat against this huge power of the Holy Spirit, and the ego will be crushed. No.
It's the same power.
Thank you, Julie. And it says right here in the next sentence how it's the same power. It says, the ego's logic is impeccable to that of the Holy Spirit because your mind, the one mind where they both exist, has the means at its disposal to side with heaven or earth as it elects. But again, remember that both are in you. Holy Spirit is in you. Ego is in you. Your power of decision is the one remaining power you have in this addiction to the earth and bodies.
Isn't that part of the source of guilt? Is because we've chosen wrong. We've chosen separation.
Very good. Very good. We might even get there tonight. Yes. Another source of guilt is if indeed you start to recognize that we have chosen not our Father's, you know, wonderful home designed for us. What does that say about you who chose to leave this prodigal son who took the money and just left, leaving behind a beautiful home set up for your happiness and your success? And you said, nah, get out of here. Give me the money that I... If you died, how much money would I get? Okay, I'll take that now. Goodbye. Did you do that?
Hmm.
And God, has God come running after you? Oh. So then if you decide this isn't working out so nice, you can't actually get this love communicated that is so valuable. It's so true for you. It's not true for them. What? It's the love. You might have to get closer to truth.
where you can communicate truth. And so to do that, you might get closer to the source that you ran from. Possible guilt going on here. What happens when you get home? What's Dad going to say?
Hmm. That's the greatest fear.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, we'll be dealing with that too.
No, wait a minute.
Yep.
Getting close to God is your greatest fear. Is that feels like a Catholic teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't ever taught that, so I don't feel like that.
Of course you don't. Yeah.
I feel like if I could get close to God, that would be heaven.
Yes. Yes. And if your understanding is true, then being close to God would actually be understanding God. And that's love. So there's no problem there. Yes. Yes. But be watch it. Watch it along the way. Because here you are, somehow, eyes closed to God in many ways. And yet, we keep reading in this book and elsewhere that the invitation is wide open for you to come home. And you're not. Some part of you's not.
Some part's choosing the wrong thing.
Yeah, somehow. Right, that's what Julie's talking about. That,
I guess what I'm wondering then, Julie, did you mean the fear is that you're choosing the wrong thing, or the fear is that by choosing the wrong thing, you won't be close to God?
Well, really, there's no right and wrong, right? But, like, the ego believes that there is. So if I have chosen separation, then there's going to be punishment for that.
That's it.
But not by God.
But my ego believes it.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. You have to be able to see the ego as not real in order to return to God. If you continue under the principles of the ego, where I started meditation tonight, if you offer the characteristics of the ego to God, punishment is deserved. And you'd be willing to pay it.
But who does the punishment?
It does, as Julie says, there's no punishment actual. Well, but your ego believes, yeah?
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We do all the time.
Well, if you punish yourself, God won't have to.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't believe God punishes. I believe if I'm punished, it's my doing.
Uh-huh.
I don't really think of myself as believing God's a fearful or a hateful God either. But it's more like the principle of that guilt. Like if there's guilt to be assigned everywhere we look, and we do it all the time, then we prove that guilt real to ourselves, as Mark was saying, and therefore it by ego's logic, it proves that, like, we would be punished by God.
Yeah, by default, we will give God the same attributes that we have. And we've got to bust that. Now, the Course is going to teach it to us. Let's let it rock. Okay, so please, next paragraph. Mark?
In heaven, there is no guilt because the kingdom is attained through the atonement, which releases you to create. The word create is appropriate here because once what you have made is undone by the Holy Spirit, the blessed residue is restored and therefore continues in creation. What is truly blessed is incapable of giving rise to guilt and must give rise to joy. This makes it invulnerable to the ego because its peace is unassailable. It is invulnerable to disruption because it is whole. Guilt is always disruptive. Anything that engenders fear is divisive because it obeys the law of division. If the ego is the symbol of the separation, it is also the symbol of guilt. Guilt is more than merely not of God. It is the symbol of attack on God. This is a totally meaningless concept except to the ego.
Yes.
But do not underestimate the power of the ego's belief in it.
Yes.
This is the belief from which all guilt really stems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there is a metaphysical discussion going on here that the book just can't, right now, put into words. There is this, these last few sentences are key. Okay. Guilt is more than merely not of God. It's a symbol of attack on God. Okay. God is not a person. That's fighting words in some circles. Because God is not a person, guilt doesn't compute in what God is. It doesn't work. Neither does this world. As the book says, I'm going to break it to you gently here, God didn't even know there is a world. God doesn't know things like that. You have to start to open your mind now and say, I don't know what God is. I hope you've already given up who God is.
That's me.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, yeah. Because what we're doing here, metaphysics, the essence of what we're talking about here is deep, deep stuff, grounded in what you believe is true about your identity. We're going to break off the false. And sentences like this, if you start to allow them like you would in a meditation, you allow to search for the truth in them, the feeling that pops up in your mind about the truth in these sentences of what we're saying here, you will start to feel the freedom from guilt. If God can't have guilt, God can't have punishment either. And neither can you. When you move your identity back to an extension of God.
It's like attacking ourselves.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Attacking ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yes. With purpose. Very good.
That's why I don't believe God punishes. Because God is a mystery as far as I'm concerned.
Good.
And if it's a mystery, then... And it's not a person, it's not something. It's,
yes.
If it's only love, then it doesn't punish us,
okay.
As far as I can tell.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I know about.
Okay, then stay with that. Good. Don't be getting God attributes of the human. That's good. Excellent. All right. Next paragraph.
The ego is a part of the mind that believes in the vision. How could part of God detach itself without believing it is attacking him? You spoke before of the authority problem as based on the concept of usurping God's power. The ego believes that this is what you did because it believes that it is you. If you identify with the ego, you must perceive yourself as guilty. Whenever you respond to your ego, you will experience guilt and you will fear punishment. The ego is quite literally a fearful thought. However ridiculous the idea of attacking God may be, to the sane mind, never forget that the ego is not sane. It represents a delusional system and speaks for it. Listening to the ego's voice means that you believe it is possible to attack God and that a part of him has been torn away by you. Fear of retaliation from without follows, because the severity of the guilt is so acute that it must be projected.
There it is.
There it is. And it will continue as well. It comes along with identifying with the ego. As false as that idea of identifying with a body and an ego means you have disidentified with God. And would actually resist and are resisting unity and oneness.
And we deny who we are.
Yes. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I love this sentence on page 218, and it says, your function now is to deny the denial of truth. Typical Course in Miracles, right? What did it say? Double negative. Deny the denial of, what is it? Accept the truth? Accept the truth. Why did you just say accept the truth? Yeah. It's because you're a denying machine. Use that same power. It's all the same power. Use it for right. Use it for good. Yeah. Isn't that a crazy paragraph?
It says a whole lot.
There's a whole lot. The ego is quite literally a fearful thought. However ridiculous the idea of attacking God may be, to the sane mind, never forget that the ego is not sane. It represents a delusional system and speaks for it. Listening to the ego's voice means that you believe it's possible to attack God and that a part of him has been torn away by you. Fear of retaliation from without follows, because the severity of the guilt is so acute that it must be projected. And that's what it means when you're trusting your separation is experienced. Separation experienced at times when you feel like you're alone, or you feel like you've been harmed, or a victim, or that you have hurt somebody else. Those are real tough experiences of separation, which can only be described as guilt. Let's continue.
Whatever you accept into your mind has reality for you. It is your acceptance of it that makes it real. If you enthrone the ego in your mind, you are allowing it to enter makes it your reality. This is because the mind is capable of creating reality or making illusions. I said before that you must learn to think with God. To think with Him is to think like Him. This engenders joy, not guilt, because it is natural. Guilt is a sure sign that your thinking is unnatural. Unnatural thinking will always be attended with guilt, because it is the belief in sin. The ego does not perceive sin as a lack of love.
And what does Course in Miracles say sin is?
Separation.
Belief in separation.
Separation. That's right. Yeah. Please continue.
The ego does not perceive sin as a lack of love, but as a positive act of assault. This is necessary to the ego's survival, because as soon as you regard sin as a lack, you will automatically attempt to remedy the situation, and you will succeed. The ego regards this as doom, but you must learn to regard it as freedom.
You see, because your separation is your success in being you. You did it. You got away from this big, amorphous, peaceful, pure love of heaven where all was so boring you just had to get out and be a human.
Did that when I was 18.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole idea of like being an individual. Mm-hmm. The individual is an ego.
Yes.
And individualism is so like promoted throughout our lifestyle,
yeah, our culture, particular culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People, there's no sin in individualism.
Right. It's good.
But in separation, there's a serious problem. Individualism is fine. There's no problem with that. Dream it up as you may. In fact, why don't you create a world of individualism and contribute to the kingdom of God? But separation, pulling yourself off of unity, having individualism be completed by breaking it off from all that is as a separate, suffering, struggling, cut off.
Schizophrenic mind.
What?
Schizophrenic mind.
It becomes schizophrenic.
I think that there's probably a point where, you know, when you discover your true nature, you are being an individual. And so, but when people use their ego to be an individual,
yes,
then they're like, it's like a fake,
yes,
being like a fake true nature.
Yes, it's like taking a drug.
Yeah.
It's like taking a drug called ego, and that way you can get your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your individual nature,
yeah,
by being in a body.
Like if you pretend to be different.
Yes.
But then that's a pretense. That's a whole, like, being pretentious. Like you're pretending to be different.
It happens to be impossible and false and insane,
right,
in the words of this book.
Yeah.
But it is an idea, isn't it?
It's
Why don't
there,
you just be
it?
Different from it's, everything it's else?
Yeah, so you do everything, like there's people who will do everything in contrast to what they feel like they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they will automatically do the opposite of
that. Yeah, down Pacific Avenue, I see this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And tattoos right on the face.
Right.
Yeah.
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 But then everybody has that idea, so they end up being the same.
Oh, come up something new now. Yeah. But what a quick way to buy your individual creative...
Yeah.
But it's done with a drug. And the problem with drugs is that they reduce your resources to keep it up.
Mm.
They may give you an experience. They may give you a great experience of the target. individuality or peace. There are drugs that make you very peaceful, aren't there? But there are drugs that wipe you out for days. They're just, oh, very peaceful. Yeah. But you're slobbering, you're not eating, and you're going to get very sick and lose your job in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So it actually zaps the resources to keep it up. So does the ego. Mm-hmm. The ego is like taking a drug, and it saps the resources of love. All you want is love. She said it, and we all feel it. We all know it. We all have a love that doesn't seem to reflect well. Yeah. Yeah. All you want is peace. From peace comes all the things that you really desire. But taking the drug ego as a way to quickly get there is a substitution of power. It's like taking a drug. Yep.
I want to say something that might really be stupid. So what are you telling me, that instead of searching for a sense of God's love, I should be searching for peace instead?
Yes. Your peace will be like a door. In this crazy world of chaos, peace is like a door that you have access to and can walk right out of the chaos. And God's love is peaceful. It's seen from peace. All love is in peace. And so this would be a handy choice that is like a door you would walk through out of the chaos.
Peace seems a whole lot easier.
Oh, yes.
The truth of love.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's much more achievable. So also I say, in the Course, the Course focuses on this, he knows we can do this because we really want this, and you might afford for yourself to choose peace just for a moment before you attack, right? You do a good Course student, you say, you know, I've... Course says, just choose peace. Ask the Holy Spirit how to see this differently before I act. Boy, if you do that, you will bust the ego. Mm. Your breathing will slow down. Your shoulders will drop.
Say that again.
If you ask. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you the situation differently. Lesson 34 says, I could choose peace instead of this. And this is a blank. This is whatever, beep, showed up in your life. That moment. Mm-hmm. You break the cycle. The ego's answer has to wait for a moment. And meanwhile, just being still for a moment and saying, Holy Spirit, show me. This tunes your mind into the radio station of KGOD instead of KEGO. Switch the channel over by simply pausing and asking for another way to see this situation. In so doing, you will take an easy breath. And that easy breath isn't compared to the hard breaths that you were taking a moment ago when you're ready to punch somebody. And the easy breath feels better. And if you say, well, I'm going to take just another easy breath before I get going because I do want peace. A translation will enter your mind. This is how the Holy Spirit works. Because you went quiet, the Holy Spirit got loud.
Isn't there like a trap here? Like, in a way, what I keep thumping up against is, in a way, we use the ego, the ways of the ego, to understand and comprehend things that are not necessarily understandable or comprehendable, and therefore then we judge that we're not there yet, or...
Yep.
You know, or like I had some things happen this last week where how it was for me, well, that just really shows you how far from God I am.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Proving. Yeah, that's right. That's right. As we've had many times we in this room, we've discussed it in the book, discussed this principle called a bridge. A bridge takes you from here over an impossible rough chasm to there. And the Holy Spirit is a bridge. To which you have access because it's part of your mind, where you just simply walk across, trust it, and use it. You will transport yourself. Without the bridge, the other side is like, I'm not there. I don't know who else. I don't know how people, how Dalai Lama does it. You know, they put, ran him out of his home with guns and stuff, and he seems to be, I don't know how he did. I'm not like that. I can't do that.
It's like calling yourself stupid.
Isn't it? Yes. Whereas with the workbook, we actually cross that bridge multiple times a day. That's why I really recommend that you take the workbook seriously, do one lesson a day, and go on to the next lesson the next day. You stay one or two days in a lesson you really, really love, you know, but keep the momentum going, because the next lesson will explain a lot about the one that you might be struggling with. And it will carry you on a journey. It'll give you access to the bridge of the Holy Spirit in a couple of ways. One way is, by simply doing the workbook, you will get familiar with the language of A Course in Miracles, the language of the Holy Spirit. You will actually be using it every day in your mind. So when you read the text, it's going to make more sense because you're familiar with the language, how it's used, and what it means. That happens. The next is, you will discover your own power to go to peace. You will discover the power to change your mind from anger to peace, from worry to peace, from fear to peace, if even only for a moment. That moment unravels the ego. And you'll do it many, many, many times over many circumstances. Some not so important, some really important. And by the end of the year, you will say, oh, damn, I was right. Lesson number one was absolutely true, and I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And your freedom journey is irreversible. Okay. Let's continue, because there's so much meat in here. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff. But how do you leave these paragraphs behind? But we just have to just soak it in as we come. All right. Okay, this is the next paragraph.
Is that number five?
I think it's five.
Okay. The guiltless mind cannot suffer. Being sane, the mind heals the body because it has been healed. The sane mind cannot conceive of illness because it cannot conceive of attacking anyone or anything. I said before that illness is a form of magic. I might be better to say that it is a form of magical solution. Mm-hmm. The ego believes that by punishing itself, it will mitigate the punishment of God.
Here it goes.
Yet even in this, it is arrogant. It attributes to God a punishing intent, and then takes this intent as its own prerogative. It tries to usurp all the functions of God as it perceives them, because it recognizes that only total allegiance can be trusted.
Yes. Again, the ego is attributing to God its own rules and laws. And somewhere in your mind, and believe me, the workbook will work this over too, but we're working it right now in the text, is you start thinking that maybe I got God all wrong. Mm. And I just don't know. And this course seems to say God is not at all even able to punish or have guilt. And I'm telling you, not even a person.
So is this referred to unconscious guilt?
Oh, yeah, well.
Any kind of guilt.
Yeah, guilt in any flavor you can come up with.
Mm. So there's is there guilt, read somewhere, I think I understand it. There's some deep bedrock of guilt that sponsors the projection of itself, really.
Yeah, and Julie put her finger on it, and it's this guilt of rejecting God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So we can't really work with it without the course. We can't really get rid of it without the course or some other.
This is a required course.
Yeah.
Only time you take it.
Sentence mm-hmm. one.
It's optional. That's right, for that very reason.
Cool.
Yeah, good.
You know, this last paragraph, Andrew, just really got me thinking, like, why are we wired up like this? Like, you know, like, that's fucked up. I mean,
yes.
To wire the thing to require this much effort. I mean, I could be at home, you know, eating some pizza or something.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's like we have to work. And then it's like you get it, and then you slip, and you get it, and you're like, oh, I got it a little bit better today. Oh, I lost it that day.
The whole thing only lasted one instant.
No, so my point is, why?
He's had an honest question. Why is wired up? Because obviously he's not alone. He's got a bunch of people dealing with you, Jeff, are not alone. You got people here just as twisted as you. Well, maybe not that exact twisted, but
bad man, sister.
It's a very honest question. It's very true.
I've had this conversation about God since I was 18.
Haven't you?
I remember having this conversation with a friend. Like, you know, the version was something like, you know, if God is all powerful and really loves us, why the fuck did he give us free will?
Yeah. Yeah. But
that's the problem.
It's because we've screwed ourselves over and over again with this free will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, too many opportunities to screw up.
Uh-huh. How could you create without free will?
That's exactly what I think. It's been, in order for us to create like God does, we need free will.
Well, then why are we so wired to be able to make such big mistakes?
Because we make different wrong choices.
How is hate worthy of God's extension of God?
Because my parents didn't study the Course in Miracles.
That's the reason. You're the correction for your parents. Yeah.
My parents had done it right,
yes.
And I would have been okay.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter if it's all an illusion anyway.
We have to get in touch with the right level under which you can have bad wiring. There's heaven, where all the wiring is good. And where there is no problem, ever. And then there's not heaven. Only two. Where you find yourself. God did not make the world to A Course in Miracles. And you go to other religions, God did, okay? And then you got a serious problem. You get there, you put a black eye on that dude, okay? Not a God I want to meet, when I learned in my Catholic school, for that very reason. But A Course in Miracles, I've been freed. My whole definition of God has been freed. My understanding of God, and now I'm okay to feel God. I couldn't feel God before because I had such serious complaints. I can feel God now. And it is present, and it is absolutely beautiful.
I often think of God as like the physics, like gravity or electricity.
All right.
So yeah. That's why I kind
of a little less of a person. A little less of a person. That's excellent.
The person thing brings all sorts of baggage with it.
Yeah, but yes, I was right. So yeah, you know, so gravity didn't wire things. It just is.
But the person thing, you know, I find like in moments when I'm attempting to pray, is that there's something comforting about it.
Yes, yes.
You know, that there's a he, she, yes. Father, mother.
Yes.
Well, because we want, like, to have our problems dealt with. But, like, what Andrew's saying is, just, like, it's just not like that. I mean, he's not paying attention that way at all.
He's as consistent as gravity. I don't know any person who's that consistent.
And if you jump off a ledge, gravity will drag you down.
It will do that. You can trust it.
Live with love, God will pull you up.
Yeah, keeps you from floating off into space, and I love it. Yeah, God does not do the wiring. You did, as this book says. And those are fighting words until you recognize what it is referring to.
Well, and I want to repeat what you said, because that sentence got me about a year ago, that, like, God did not make the world.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And that was a real shift. I mean, not that I always understand that, but all the religion I was taught before is the opposite of that, and it was such an aha moment.
Yes. Yes.
Fundamental.
I can love God again!
Fundamental. Well, not only that, but taking responsibility for what I've done, and also, like, knowing that I can be free.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the other alternative is that I can't.
It's starting allowing for an I that is not limited to Julie's svelte 119 pounds. There is another I to be reborn into. This is so critical. Course in Miracles has a couple of essential goods that it delivers. One is it delivers peace of mind. Another thing it delivers is your true identity. Another thing it delivers is open-mindedness. If you have closed-mindedness, if you continue to identify with your body, and you think that attack and anger and guilt is still useful, you will not be returning to heaven. You will not. You cannot. You cannot.
What were the three things that delivers peace of mind, open-mindedness?
Yes.
What was the third thing?
Your true identity.
True identity.
These are all things that are solely under your control. Because you've used this power to block the awareness of the others handily. You've done such a good job with what power, Julie?
The power of God.
The power of God itself have you used to deny God. This is where the logic of the ego and the Holy Spirit are impeccably equal. It's the same power. It's the same power! You put your own hands over your eyes and said, I can't see. Now, I think that's both good news and bad news. But I think it's more good news than bad news. Because that means that we found the problem, and it's you. We found the solution, and it's you. You don't need anything from anybody but one thought. You're one thought away from your freedom. That's a lot better than I expected. Good. Let's continue. We have so much.
Can I, about what you said about why is this whole thing allowed?
Yeah.
I don't think God has limits. I think God creates. And if there's no limits, think about the Big Bang and everything that's come from it, for instance. Yeah. Why wouldn't God create this?
If love is true, and if you are invulnerable, whatever you really are, if God is invulnerable, and you're an extension of God, well, nothing vulnerable can be threatened. So that's just, there's no problem.
Well, there's another thing.
Yeah.
That when I'm united or aware that I am in God, and that there's nothing I can do about it, because that's the truth. And when I surrender to that, then I'm not threatened by anything.
That's it. The real cannot be threatened. When you surrender to the real, the truth, you surrender what actually is, there is an elevation that occurs in your identity. And now you don't have to worry.
Exactly. So you can allow any experiences to come and go.
Yes. And harvest from them whatever the creative, loving mind might find. The hating mind, no, that's not true. The loving mind is true. So no matter what is presented, the loving mind will harvest love and share it and find individual ways to experience it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you brought this up, especially with the part about God did not create this world.
Yeah.
We did. But what I'm saying now, I'm stepping into this whole new world where, wait a minute, I get to rename all the animals?
That's right.
Hey, I ain't giving up my rib, and I can have all the apple pie I want.
That's right, all that you want.
But anyway, that's just, but now that I found this peace,
it's my
garden. Well, whatever, it's my, you know, it's my
outlook
and how I'm looking at things, you know?
Yes.
And it's,
as Mario once said in 2014, I can make my own combination pizza.
Well,
when it gets to food, you know, that's where this guy connects.
Well,
anything you want.
Yeah, it's just, it's so new. It's just like it's I'm finding all these pieces to, wait a minute, you know, and I'm finding,
right?
You know,
right?
And throwing that other R in my name.
Yes.
Where the ocean meets the river.
A free man.
But there's no sand.
There's no sand on your beach. All right, who's up to read? This is a great paragraph.
The ego cannot oppose the laws of God any more than you can, but it can interpret them according to what it wants, just as you can. That is why the question, what do you want, must be answered. You are answering it every minute and every second. Each moment of decision is a judgment that is anything but ineffectual. its effects will follow automatically until the decision is changed. Remember, though, that the alternatives themselves are unalterable. The Holy Spirit, like the ego, is a decision. Together they constitute all the alternatives the mind can accept and obey. The Holy Spirit and the ego are the only choices open to you. God created one, and so you cannot eradicate it. You made the other, and so you can. Only what God creates is irreversible and unchangeable. What you make can always be changed, because when you do not think like God, you are not really thinking at all. Delusional ideas are not real thoughts, although you can believe in them. But you are wrong. The function of thought comes from God and is in God. As part of his thought, you cannot think apart from him.
And that's the truth and the bottom line. You cannot be other than you are. You are a thought of God. You are under the laws of God, which the ego is fighting terms. But when you understand the laws of God, the laws of love, oh, wait a minute, I'm back in. I like it. Tell me more about this. When it says that you share the will of God, you're like, wait a minute, I have my own will, thank you very much. The will of God is your perfect happiness. Oh, I'm back in. Tell me more about this this will thing. Perfect happiness. Yes. Yes. But to move across that bridge, you would have to deny the laws of the ego that are full of imperfect happiness and struggle and strife. One of the ways the Course does it and hammers it again and again and again and again through your workbook job is it says this. It says, I'm not a body. I am free. Or, because I'm still as God created me. It's respect to God. It's respect to the truth of your mind. And it is an absolute call to correction for your identity. I am not a body. I, who apparently look like a body right now, if I use my eyes, am called to use my mind with vision and see that I, what I really am, is not a body. Truth dawns on your mind. If you, just for a moment, if you can look at yourself as not being a body, it has a very transformative effect for all the truth that that thought carries. It's like warming you up on a cold day. Give me more. This paragraph underscores you choose with your thoughts. As I've said many times here, seek no further than your own mind. Your next thought that you choose to afford is your life. It's for all your addictions, for choosing hate and aloneness and worry and all other things, you know, that you've sucked up your life quite a bit here, and separation has become seemingly real. We're just going to reverse that. Gently, but surely. Let's continue. We've got some more minutes. Yes.
Okay. In the one of the famous quotes from the Bible is, God only works in truth.
Yeah.
Right? And I think this is what we're talking about here. When we are living in this made-up story from the ego, nothing we do brings us back to happiness, a connection to goodness. Whereas if we could live inside a right-mindedness, now that's where the truth is exposed.
Yes.
And it's accessible to us.
Yes.
And then
yes,
we can set things right.
Even in a body.
Yeah.
We can set things right as we allow what the body would see and report, even with its laws now, guilt and everything else, and put translated with the Holy Spirit. We can now see light where there was only darkness. Even in a body, as you live in a body, still under the powers of gravity, with your right mind, you can translate. And you might even have fun. You certainly will start to get a lot more love experiences, even as you see struggle everywhere you look on some days. You will have more love experiences for this shift to the right mind. Course in Miracles gives you three flavors of mind. You got wrong mind, we call ego. You got right mind, we call Holy Spirit. But the right mind is still dealing with these addictions of the ego, but seeing them correctly. And then, finally, rhyming with the holy instant, we have one mind. One-mindedness. And this is the healed, fully healed mind. This is the Christ mind. This is the mind that is free of letting go of the dream of separation and the world is over. You may now stop dreaming. That's waking up. One mind. Yeah. We'll visit that much more deeply at another time. But for now, check out this next paragraph. Who's up? Is it Mar?
Mario.
Rio? Yeah. Yes.
Number 7?
Yes, please.
Irrational thoughts is disordered thoughts. God himself orders your thoughts because your thoughts was created by him. Guilt feelings are always a sign that you do not know this. They also show that you believe you can't think apart from God and want to.
Mm-hmm.
Every disordered thought is attended by guilt at its inception and maintained by guilt in its continuance. Guilt is inescapable by those who believe they order their own thoughts and must therefore obey their dictates. This makes them feel responsible for their errors without recognizing that. By accepting this responsibility, they are reacting irresponsibly. If the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself, and I assure you that it is, then the responsibility for what is atoned for cannot be yours.
And we go right back to Stephen's sentence. It says, wait, this is God. How could God make such a messed up issue? Well, it's not your responsibility. As soon as you, any messed up issue, any bad wiring, any difficulties in the world, any decapitated children, any cancer, is not your responsibility. As soon as you recognize, you're going to go back to thoughts you think with God. You're going to move your perception. You're going to move your perspective away from the separate struggling ego that has something to lose. And so gaining the bigger picture, you will be returning your mind back to thoughts it can think with the perspective of all. Healing your mind, a shift into invisibility will occur. And let me tell you, I hope you heard that Miracle Crusher principle, because it's dead on. And it's part of why we have to say this is a spiritual meeting. Because you can't see the spiritual. It's a really big clue of the bridge you will cross in order to breathe this wonderful, peaceful, large, spacious spiritual air.
Do you think there's a lot of toxins in our food that's creating some of this crap?
If you do, I do.
Okay, I was just wondering, because I'm kind of tying in something that's just like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put no limits on the ego at all, Mario.
I know, I don't know, I was just kind of...
Toxic foods would be the end of all of us. You are what you eat, right? Isn't that the credo of the ego?
Well, what I'm saying, I was just trying to tie it in with everything that we're just like, okay, am I aware of what I'm... Wait a minute. The chemicals in some of this junk that we eat.
Yeah, so if you are a body, then what the body takes in will dictate the body's health and therefore your health. If you are a body and the body is sick, you're sick. But starting with lesson 199, of course it actually books in 100 even, but Course in Miracles starts saying, you know what, I got some truth for you that I hope you're ready for. You are not a body. Surprise! Okay. It's really good news.
So we're thinking with our body.
Yes, that's what the brain is for.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, it's just like, so when we make that shift over, we can heal ourselves in a sense of, you know, of what we think.
That's correct. And it doesn't take time. Because we're not changing the world or our bodies. We're changing how we see the world and our bodies. That's what a miracle is. A shift in perception. And it has healing effects because it shifts from the visible, the body, whether it's healthy or sick, it's limited, to the invisible, which is the essence of spirit. So free, it doesn't know any limits of the body. This is what you are in truth.
That's the apple pie.
That's the apple pie. Yes. Yeah, let's pull in one more paragraph.
You're
this stuff is
hungry, Mario.
Well, you find it, you get all you want.
I gotta go pick one up on the way home.
Could be ice cream too.
The whole damn thing. And think about you.
Okay.
Is a really good brand.
Which one?
Claim Jump.
I would call it spiritual power.
One more paragraph before we get into dairy products. Masaki, you reading tonight?
No.
Okay, Luann, bring it home. Paragraph 8. Bust us all!
The continuing decision to remain separated is the only possible reason for continuing guilt feelings. We have said this before, but did not emphasize the destructive results of this decision, of the decision. Any decision of the mind will affect both behavior and experience. What you want, you expect. Mm-hmm. This is not delusional. Mm-hmm. Your mind does make your future, and it will turn it back to full creation at any moment if it accepts the atonement first. Mm-hmm. It will also return to full creation the instant it has done so.
Yes.
Having given up its disordered thought, the proper ordering of thought becomes quite apparent.
Yes. And the proper ordering thought is powered by truth, by God. And you start to like God a lot because the chaos disappears and you're still empowered. You're not gone. You've awoken to your power.
He lets us create this heaven that we could step. That's why I'm using that metaphor about, I can rename all the animals.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I'll eat all the apple pie I want.
That's right. You could create. That's right. Yeah, you create a heaven.
He's given us the ability to, as much as you want.
And you can invite all your friends.
Oh, yeah.
All your friends.
That's why I'm here.
Yes. And what's more is, as this book says, and so does Buddhism say, you would approach your own enlightenment, and the closer you get, the more certain you are of it. Oh, my goodness.
I can taste it.
You taste it, you'll know it's truth, and this love wells up in you for all those who would follow you as you look on them and say, come with me, my brothers. Don't delay. It's, oh my goodness, be you free. Before you take your own enlightenment, you would circle back to include all the rest of you, not leaving one behind. And there are infinite to leave behind. Quite a sobering thought. But is there a more loving thought? There are so many to leave behind, and not one shall be left.
There's only one sentient.
Yes. You're connected to all of them.
It's almost like you can't leave them behind.
You can't leave them behind. You couldn't actually go leaving any part of you behind.
And I think that's why God is always with us, because God can't leave us behind.
One is one is one. Okay, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. All your thoughts They come from your mind, right? You, have you come to that conclusion yet? Nobody puts thoughts in your head? Nobody puts them there? Have you figured that one out? Have you seen that yet? That no matter how many thoughts you can have and all the flavors that pop in, nobody actually puts the thoughts in there. This is fully under your control. And then, I'm just pointing out what you've experienced your entire life. You get to experience what you thought. You live with what you thought. You're a creator. Even here, in the dream, you are a creator. And you are living with what you're thinking. So you, therefore, you are one thought away from freedom. To go to freedom and peace at any moment for your existence. Remember it, it's true. Thank you, amen.
Thank you.
Hey, we're digging in on guilt.
So
we're going to keep digging.
I mean,
yeah, good, thank you.
You did at the right time.
Yeah, you did. Joined at the right time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad you're
back a little bit towards the end of the evening. Oh, your mind.